We are regulars here.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. قد قال تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم، رب زدني علما، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last Jumu'ah we spoke about and began the subject of this auspicious month of Dhul-Hijjah, and during this month the advice that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam provided us in terms of what to focus on, what to do to receive and attain maximum benefit from this month. And last Friday we went over general fasting and also an increase and frequenting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the remembrance, specifically, our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned the tasmih, the tahmid, the takbir, and the tahleel. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar. Now alongside that, there are also specific actions that our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has emphasized and recommended the Ummah on specific days in Dhul-Hijjah. So last week we looked at a general attitude towards the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah and fasting whatever we can until the 9th, and every day increasing in dhikr. Progressing from that discussion, we now look at how our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has emphasized specific actions on specific days of Dhul-Hijjah. And there are two actions on two different days that are specified by our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Number one is a specific fast on a specific day. And number two is the concept of udhiyah and the sacrificing of an animal for Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal on a specific day or a few days of Dhul-Hijjah. So the first, in a narration recorded by Imam Muslim rahimahullah in his Sahih, amongst others. The Sahabi in question relates, سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ صَوْمِ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةِ, that our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was once questioned in respect to fasting on the day of Arafah. Now, we're all aware, or most of us will be aware, of the significance of the day of Yawm Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, where the pilgrims perform the most important aspect of their Hajj, the Wukufu Arafat. They're standing, sitting, making dua on the plain of Arafat. And from numerous collections in the books of Hadith, we find that the significance of this day is extraordinary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on the day of Arafah is unprecedented. Allah's forgiveness on this day is unprecedented. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal grants pardon to so many people on this blessed day of Arafah. And because it's a ritual that is specific to the pilgrims, we cannot sit in our homes and say to Allah that I'm doing wukuf Arafat in Morden. The wukuf of Arafat is specific to Arafat, the plain of Arafat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness and His mercy that He extends to the Ummah is that everybody will not be able to perform Hajj every single year. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends the virtue that is attained due to Hajj to all the Muslims around the world. This is nothing shorter than the immense mercy of Allah upon us. That even though we are unable to make the travel to perform the Hajj and to be on the plain of Arafat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still extends the blessings of Arafat to the Muslims wherever they may be. And what is the blessing? سُئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَوْمَ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ, that to have a relationship with the plain of Arafat and the pilgrims that are on the plain of Arafat, the Sharia and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has emphasized fasting on the day of Arafat. So just like we fast in the month of Ramadan, there is a fast specific to the day of Arafat. And so the Sahaba, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this is a fast, they questioned, Ya Rasulullah, what is this fast? Why are we fasting and what does it give us? We know why we're fasting, because it's the day of Arafat. And Allah's mercy and Allah's blessings descend in tremendous amounts on this day. So we understand, but what are we going to achieve? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُكَفِّرْ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ, that you have asked what you will attain through fasting on this day, then listen, O companions, that for fasting on the day of Arafat, Allah will expiate and remove the sins of the previous year, al-madhiya. So the sins that you committed in the previous year, inshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove them. And the sins that are being referenced here, because if it's just the fast without tawbah, it's sagha'ir, it's the minor sins. But if it's fasting with tawbah for the sins that you have committed, then it's saghair and kabair. So, the Prophet ﷺ says, yukaffir as-sanat al-madiyah. That for the previous year that you have committed sins, Allah will forgive you of those sins. Wal-baqiyah. And it's also an expiation for the sins that are going to take place the following year. Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya, Nawwarallahu Markadahu wa Barrada Madja'ahu, he says that this hadith, it gives the subtlety that if you fast the day of Arafat, Allah will keep you alive for one more year. Because it can only be expiated if you're alive. So for one fast, the previous year's sins are forgiven and the coming year's sins are forgiven. So that is the first specific action that our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has emphasized in terms of a day in Dhul Hijjah. And when does that take place? On the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So in our case, that fast, if one is intending to keep, inshaAllah, will take place on the coming Thursday. On the Thursday, inshaAllah, if you make that tahiyyah and that intention that I will fast the day of Arafat, this is the reward to look forward to, that Allah will expiate the sins of the previous year and the sins that will come the following year. We have to mention these subtleties and side notes, that doesn't mean that if you keep this fast that you have a license to sin for the next year. This is not what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. So that's number one. Number two, the second specific action emphasized on a day of Dhul Hijjah is the most relevant of practices to those that are not on the Hajj. And that is the sacrificing of an animal for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no other intention. So on other days we sacrifice animals to eat, to consume. Or in the case of an aqiqah, if a child is born, two small animals for a boy, one for a girl. This is a practice that's done for a purpose. But in terms of worship, where one sacrifices, and this sacrifice, the sacrificial animal, and the concept of sacrificing, it's very prevalent in other faiths. And whether that be worshipping one Allah, or the concept of sacrifice is very prevalent in other practices. But in Islam, there is no other occasion, except on the day of Eid, where the sacrifice is presented to Allah. No other time in the year where one sacrifices as an ibadah. You sacrifice with a purpose. You want to eat, you sacrifice the animal. But in terms of sacrificing for ibadah of Allah, no other junction where it is sanctioned other than the day of Eid. Other than at the time of Eid. And what is it? Again, we don't have much time, so there is much to speak about. But just to give you that zeal of what we should be aiming for in these days. What does the Prophet ﷺ say about the sacrificial animal and about the concept of sacrifice? So again, we look back into the ahadith and the statements of the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala and majma'een. And on one occasion, they asked the Messenger ﷺ, مَا هَذِهِ الْعَضَاحِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that what is this practice of udhiyah and sacrificing an animal? So in this statement, the question is, where is its origin and what do we get? Well, they'll ask that specifically afterwards. So the Prophet ﷺ said, سُنَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمْ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ. This is the practice of your father, Ibrahim ala Khalilullah ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this isn't the occasion, but we all know the story of where it comes from, his willingness to sacrifice Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So we'll leave that for the moment. So this is the origin. The origin of this willingness to sacrifice for Allah was so beloved to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sanctioned this practice for the rest of eternity. The willingness to sacrifice for Allah was so beloved to Allah that this practice is sanctioned until Yawmul Qiyamah. Every year, there is no time until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this world where the ulama will stand up and say, we don't need to sacrifice animals anymore. It's not possible. If the criteria of sacrificing are met, then this sacrifice will take place ila yawm al-qiyamah. Sunnat abikum Ibrahim, number one. وَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what do we get from it? If we do this, then what are we going to attain? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ لِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ مِّنَ السُّوفِ حَسَنًا. The Prophet ﷺ said that for every strand of wool on the back of that sacrificial animal, and obviously the Prophet was referring to sheep at this time, for every strand of wool that's on the back of that animal, you will receive one hasana. In another hadith where he advises Sayyiduna Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, his daughter, to sacrifice an animal, he gives another alayhi salatu wassalam reward. He says, before the blood of the sacrificial animal drops on the earth beside you. If anybody has had the honor, I would say, of being present at the sacrificial animal, then you will know the process and how when the veins are slit, then the blood rushes forward. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is emphasizing. He says, picture how quickly the blood drops. He says, before that blood drops on the earth beside you, it drops indallah. And what that means is its acceptance is immediate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that acceptance? لِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ مِّنَ السُّوفِ حَسَنًا. For every strand of wool, every strand of hair, whatever animal there is that's being sacrificed, whatever it's on its back, every strand of fiber of wool that's on the back of that animal is equivalent to one reward, one hasana. How many thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not even more than that, of reward is one entitled to for one sacrificial animal? One sacrificial animal. And so the two practices that our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has specified for specific days in these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah is, number one, try and fast the day of Arafah. And the reward is the recompense and the expiation, of the sins of the previous year and the coming year. And number two, if one has the means and one fits the criteria of Nisab, then one, according to the jurisprudence of the Hanafi school of thought, it's binding, it's wajib to offer the sacrificial animal. It's not an option. And so if we haven't, then make the preparations from now. There are, if you're able to, like I said, the sacrificing of an animal yourself is very different to just eating and consuming the meat. Honestly, I've experienced that a couple of times in my life. It doesn't happen because in the countries that we live, to actually go out and sacrifice an animal, living in London, it's almost near, it's not impossible, I shouldn't say that, but it's very, very difficult. And from the sunnah of the sacrificial animal is that that should be the first thing that you consume on that day. You can only do that if you sacrifice the animal yourself. So if you're able to, then inshallah do. If not, then make the preparations of having the sacrificial animal done for you. It's a very important practice. It's the practice of our father Ibrahim al-Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, and the rewards are unrelenting. You can't imagine what Allah is giving for this specific dedication of worship to Allah, which He doesn't ask for us on any other occasion. Throughout the entire year, He doesn't say, you need to sacrifice an animal for me. It's not an ibadah that is mandated by Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. There is still time. The fast is still to come on Thursday. The udhiyah is still to take place on the Friday or the day after, the days of Ayyam al-Tashriq. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, please make the relevant preparations. Ensure that your udhiyah is done. If you're able to do it in this country, it creates an atmosphere of Eid that is then lost if it is done elsewhere. But of course, at times it's not possible to do it. Then inshallah, just make sure that the udhiyah is done on your behalf. Some of the general rulings before we give time for the adhan, inshallah, is that a lot of questions are being asked about the clipping of the nails and the cutting of the hair if one is performing the udhiyah, based on a hadith recorded by Imam Muslim. The ulama who have analyzed this hadith have differed in its interpretation. The general understanding from three schools of thought, from the Hanafi school of thought, the Shafi'i school of thought, and the Maliki school of thought, is that this prohibition is not wajib. The Hanafi school of thought say it's mustahab to avoid trimming the nails and clipping the nails. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah holds the firmest opinion, where he says that this is necessary. If you're doing the udhiyah, you are not allowed. It is wrong to clip the nails or the hair. That's up to you then, inshallah, but there is flexibility within there. It's preferable to stay away from clipping the nails and cutting the hair, but if you're unable to, for hygiene purposes, then you won't be sinful. There is no blame associated to the person who has to clip their nails or cut their hair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Allah give us the ability to benefit from whatever is left of these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to implement those practices that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized for us to implement in these days of Dhul Hijjah. Wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just wait for the adhan. The adhan is going to go off, inshaAllah. Who's doing the adhan? Adhan. Adhan. Huh? Sorry? Buckets, run them quickly.